Hey, Chris, what's the opposite of no?
Yes! Yes!
Yes! Hey, everybody, yes. Welcome back to the Paid Search Podcast post-holiday show. We're still here. Chris, how did your belt buckle do? Did you have a great holiday? Did you have a great Thanksgiving?
This is not the season to restrain yourself. You know, there's a time for everything, and you know, Thanksgiving is just, you know, just live it up. So, yeah, my belt buckle did not survive, nor did my pants. So, you know, it's a good time. It's a good time to eat, live, hug your family, and enjoy talking to Jason on a holiday.
Everything good with all the family?
Oh, yeah.
Good.
Both girls and the mama and the dada. That's me. That's the
good. I'm dada. Well, what's one thing you're thankful for, Chris?
I am thankful that I don't have any car notes.
No car notes.
Yes, that's right.
Okay.
That's one thing.
I'm thankful for you, man.
Oh, gosh. Come on.
Chris, I didn't know you a year and a half ago. Think about how much we talked. Think about how much we've learned from each other. It's a good anchor to our week, and I'm really thankful you do the show with me.
All right. Well, yeah. Of course, I'm going to say something completely random. You're just going to make me feel silly. But, okay, well, thank you. That's very nice of you.
Yeah, sure thing. So, guys, this week, we're back. We hope you enjoyed the interview. I know we did. That was fantastic, Chris.
Yeah, it was. Good stuff.
Learned a lot, and it was definitely worth breaking up our build here to do that interview, but now we're back. We're back to the grind, Chris, and today, this is part four. We're almost done with the build, and then we're going to have to figure out how we manage this thing, Chris, because the people are going
to
want it.
We need a funder to run this fake campaign. So anybody want to pay $1,500 a month to have us run this Sweetums campaign? We'll start a GoFundMe, I think.
Go to a broken page. No, we're thinking about things, and we're going to figure something out. But Chris, we're almost done with our build here. Today, we're talking about the ad extensions and the bids. We're going to start off going backwards here with the bids. So let's go into the account. As we know from the keywords, and again, everyone in the show notes, there's a link to the build in the form of a spreadsheet, and you can see all the keywords we're using. But as you know from earlier podcast episodes, we've only built out with phrase match and exact match modified, or sorry, broad match modified. Phrase match, we did it to really tailor in on quality, Chris, and show up on some good stuff. Broad match modified, we wanted to show up on a little bit more, make sure we're not restricting ourselves, but we didn't do broad match because that would be going a little bit too far on the just not being able to control the quality side. So we have phrase match and broad match modified. And why don't you take the next 2 hours, Chris, to explain to everyone the very complex thing we did with bids. What did we do with bids?
Yeah, so basically, I think the theme of this build, I think with most people, is what I'm feeling is that the simplicity is surprising. And we're going to continue that same simplicity theme with the bids. And Jason's joking, he was saying, take the next 2 hours, because it's very simple.
Yep.
In our campaign, what we have is a modified broad match, and we have phrase match. Okay, now, to reiterate, we've said this every episode, this is a pre-launch build. You never know what's going to work and what doesn't work until after you hit the go button. So at this point, what we have right now is phrase match and modified broad match. So basically, the phrase match is more controlled. We have more ability to control the type of traffic coming in. So those bids are higher. The modified broad match, we have less control. We still have some control. We certainly have more control than regular broad match, but those should be a bit lower. And the reason, you know, just briefly, the reason you put one higher or lower than the other is because it changes the ad rank. Briefly, ad rank is your bid times your quality score equals your ad rank. So we're essentially adjusting the ad ranks on each of these match types in order to make sure that our modified broad doesn't overshadow our phrase match.
Right.
That's it. And just to be clear, Jason, there's people out there, what, they're banging on their steering wheel, they're angry. Wait, you didn't break it up by ad group. You don't have a modified broad general dentist and a phrase match general dentist. That's right, George. We don't. And the reason is because we can adjust those bids at the keyword level.
Right.
That's what we're doing here. We're going to adjust at keyword level because there's no reason to break these up by ad group.
Right. And beyond that, Chris, we didn't even go ad group to ad group. Like general dentist keywords, we did one bid for phrase, one bid for broad match modified. We did those same bids for emergency dentists. And someone might say, well, if someone's searching emergency dentists, aren't they more desperate? Can't you charge more? Doesn't the dentist charge more for that? Shouldn't we increase bids on those keywords compared to general dentists? My answer is maybe, but let's get this thing off the ground and let's get some data in. And there's no handcuffs. Like, we can change the bids in the first hour. We can change them in the first day, the first week. And like you said, the theme of this whole build has been build it like you want to manage it, build it in preparation of management, and keep things as simple as possible. And going keyword through keyword, and just in our local campaign, Chris, we have 86 keywords. Why should we go down the list of 86 keywords and do $15 versus $14.86 versus $14.92? Like, what's the point of that, you know? And I think people hear it from us every week, the theme of simplicity, but how vindicating was it to hear Jacob last week talk about the simplicity of ad group structure and that kind of thing? That was amazing.
He said it, and guys, we had never spoken to Jacob before. Jacob's a busy guy. We're the little people here, right? I mean, you guys listen to us, and you love hearing us talk, but Jacob's got a lot going on. He doesn't listen to our podcast. You heard a man that works with budgets that are in the tens of thousands of dollars and regularly.
Big companies, yeah.
Yeah, big companies. And you heard him say, when you build a campaign, you keep it at a point that it's manageable. It should not have to be so complex that it's impossible to manage. And right. You know, that was really refreshing to hear, because you're hearing it from people that manage everyday type of business campaigns like Jason and I do, up to somebody who's building, you know, massive tens of thousands of dollars a month for large companies. And it's all the same idea. It's all got to be managed.
Right. It's all got to be managed. And Chris, that's not to say don't have different bids if you have different, really different services. So like, if this dentist also happened to do like root canals, and just for example, say root canals were like, I don't know what the prices of those are, but say they're like five times more expensive than a general checkup, maybe those bids cost $40. And then you would go into it and be like, okay, root canal keywords, a different bid level. But for us, emergency dentist isn't that different from children's dentist, isn't that different from dentist in Plano, really isn't that different from whitening. So going into the keyword planner here, Chris, how did we come up with our initial bids? Well, we manage other dentist campaigns, but that's not the situation everybody is always going to be in. So if you don't have any experience in the niche, our best recommendation is go to the keyword planner. We set it to Dallas. And when you type in just dentist, they're going to give you dentist, but they're also going to give you related keywords like emergency dentist, dentist near me, dentist office near me, find a dentist. And they're also going to give you suggested bids. And what we saw in the Dallas area, Chris, is that suggested bids were anywhere from $10 to $15, sometimes $20. But the thing about the suggested bids, like, I don't look at it on a keyword level. Like, I don't go, okay, they said $11.77 for dentist, but $14.75 for dentists near me, so that's what I need to do.
Right.
I look at it as more of getting a range. Are these $1 to $5 keywords? Are they $10 to $15 keywords? Are they $20 to $30 keywords? Are they $100 keywords? I'm looking for a range. Do you do that as well with the keyword planner?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. I mean, the keyword planner, Google will tell you, you don't use the keyword planner to take exact information and transpose it onto your campaign. That's not what the keyword planner is for. Any tool out there is going to give you ideas. Every geographic area, every landing page, every keyword, every account is a unique instance with separate ad rank. And so nobody will need the same bids. I work with plenty of clients that get an average cost of $1, while other clients in the same industry, for something relatively expensive, might be paying $7 or $8 or $10 per click.
Right.
It's very unique. It has to do with a lot of factors. So this is not, if you're building a dentist campaign, it's going to depend where you are. It's going to depend what kind of keywords have, what your landing page is, how aggressive competitors are in the area. And then you make decisions based on, you know, how things react once you launch the campaign. Jason, briefly, let's talk about what maybe a couple scenarios of what might happen once they launch.
Right.
And how you might change it, you know, what you might see. Maybe one or two suggestions of our instances of what might happen once you turn the campaign on.
I like that. I was just thinking that. And just to wrap up, so there's no confusion, what we did, we went to the keyword planner, saw that the range was around $10 to $15. So for phrase match, and again, since all our ad groups are pretty similar, the kinds of keywords, we went $15 for phrase match, $12 for broad match modified. Now, since it is so simple, Chris, it gets your mind thinking about like, okay, what is going to happen? And that's the management part. But since it is simple, we have time to go through kind of what we would be looking for when we launch. Now, there is a column, the columns you can add in, like estimated top of page bid, estimated first position. You're shaking your head. I agree with you that they're not, they just don't seem to provide the most useful data. It's like you might be bidding $12 and it might tell you, hey, first position bid is $10 and you're in position three. And you're like,
and I'm only hitting like fourth position or something like that.
Right. You know? So the two things I'm usually looking at after a launch in relation to bid are position and search impression share lost due to ad rank.
Right.
And they usually go hand in hand, but even more so at the beginning, I'm looking at position.
Yeah.
And if we go through day one and we put in $12 and $15 bids, and I'm seeing my average position is like four or five, and we didn't spend the desired budget on something you know you can spend $40 a day for, dentists in a place like Plano, pretty big volume. I'm going to look at that low position of three and four or five and be like, whoa, okay, the market's telling me, at least for right now, where maybe I don't have the best quality score history because there is no history, I need to increase bids.
Yeah.
Conversely, if I was position 1.0, and my average cost per click was $15 on the dot, and I ran out of budget 2 hours into the day, that's telling me, okay, maybe I've gone a little bit too high. I have room to pull back. Is that, are you looking at positions pretty much, Chris, and whether or not you can spend the budget?
Those are the only two things that you can really tell. It's not about click-through rate. It's not about your impressions. You have to measure search impression share and position. You're exactly right. That's what it comes down to. And if I'm seeing numbers I'm not happy with that don't correspond with what the goal of my client is and what my potential spend for the month is, if I'm only spending 20 a day and the client has 1500 a month to spend, I need to push a little harder if I'm only hitting third position, fourth position, because I have more money to spend. And if I'm getting good results, I'm going to go ahead and up that up a little bit because I've got more to spend. I'm getting good results to get more of the same.
Right. Now, Chris, interesting thing happens, at least on very large campaigns, where you launch a brand new campaign. You don't have any quality score history, no matter the size of the account or campaign. And I've seen on some large accounts that the first day can just be weird, the first couple days. So you always want to have patience. But at the same time, for smaller accounts like this, I'm usually able to get those 3 to 5 clicks and spend the $40 that first day. So another thing I can do right when I launch is you can use the preview tool. Now, I don't know where this is under the new interface.
Yeah.
But for those of you listening under the original interface that we've used for decades or since the beginning of Google, you go to tools at the top and you go to add preview and diagnosis. And I'm sure this is in the new interface under that wrench symbol probably. But you go to the ad preview tool, Chris, and there you can test mobile, you can test desktop, and you can see where your ad's showing up for different keywords. And I am always in there on the first couple of days seeing where my bids are getting me in terms of position. And you can get that even before you start getting data in the account.
Right.
Because it's supposed to be live results. Now, the one caveat, Chris, you know this, the preview tool is a little shaky sometimes. And people, even when you call into Google, they'll tell you like, hey, don't rely on it 100% because sometimes it'll mess up, and give the data in the account more credit.
If you have custom radiuses set up or you know, things like that that are specific, especially for local campaigns, you'll definitely run into some issues because it's not precise enough to be able to target that kind of stuff. So yeah, definitely the preview tool is a great way to kind of see how you are ranking and you know what your competitors are looking like. All right, so
yeah, that's it for bids, Chris. That's as simple as that.
Just to restate, as always, look on Facebook, on Twitter, on our website, paidsearchpodcast.com. Look for that link. We will continue to update the link so that you can see all the keywords, all the things that we've talked about so far up to this point, and you can see what the campaign build looks like. The point is, we don't want to explain everything point by point. Listen to us talk about it, then look at the link to see what it looks like in real life. So be sure and check that out. So we'll move on to ad extensions.
Yes.
This is the next point. Now, we haven't gotten to ads, just to be clear. We have not forgotten about ads. We're going to come to ads later, but we want to kind of compress bids and ad extensions together. They're both relatively simple concepts, and then we're going to move into ads, which will be more complicated. There's a whole lot to talk about there. So, Jason, I know you, I mean, any AdWords manager is going to be under the same goal when it comes to ad extensions. The more, the merrier. Right? I mean, as many and as creative as you can be for the ad extensions, the better. So for me and my clients, I try and use as many as possible because I usually like to have the clients as high in the search results as I can afford to be at effectively.
Right.
And second, the higher you are, the more apt you are to show these ad extensions. So if you're in first position, you're more likely to show more ad extensions. So we're going to go through these and just briefly discuss, you know, some of the value and maybe some tips on each one of them and how Jason and I use them. So Jason, you want to start with the site links?
Yeah, and Chris, just so everyone knows, this plays a small role in quality score, just using these extensions.
Good point.
So there's, I mean, if you can do them, you really should do them.
Yeah.
And it's not exciting. It's not that interesting, but like it makes your ad larger if they show up, and it's a no-brainer. So Chris, start off with, we got site links. These are the blue links below the ad. They point to other pages of the website, and pretty much you just pick different pages of the website. You put those in there with titles, like the appointment page for Sweet and Presental. We've got a schedule an appointment site link, and then you just throw in a description.
Make sure you have four of them.
Four is the most I can show, at least right now.
Right. At least have, you know, several of these in place. You can't just put one. It won't really work. It won't work, I'll say. The other thing is you can't use your landing page that you have in your ad in the ad extension. You can't just basically create a bunch of ad extensions with the same URL. So if it's sweetumsdental.com, it can't be sweetumsdental.com as an ad extension. You can't have those used over and over again. So they have to be unique, and you have to have multiple of them. So for some of you out there, that might be an issue because you may only have two pages in your website. So you would have an issue with this. You would have to work to build your website a little further in order to utilize additional ad extensions.
Right. And one thing I run into, Chris, is sometimes clients get worried like, okay, that's great that we're going to show a site link for our team that goes to like the employee page, but I don't want people who are searching for a dentist in Plano to go to the team page. I want them to go to the homepage and learn about my services and call our dental practice. And what I tell them is, look, the upside is that we're going to get a higher click-through rate, or we're going to show up larger when we show up high. We're going to get more quality score benefit. So the upside is high. And the downside of people going to the our team page, no one's going to go there. Like an extremely small percent of people click on site links versus the headline.
Talking like 0.01% or something like that.
It's low, but having site links influences the click-through rate on the headline. Like different site links, it'll show you the click-through rate of the overall ad when those site links show up. And there are differences, so you can get data that way. And then for the one-off random person in Plano who wants to really see the people and read about the team, it's there for them. Yeah. So there's not really a downside, but I hear that issue a lot, Chris. So that pretty much takes care of site links. Moving on down the list here, we have callouts. And again, we should point out to people, we pointed out this before, you can add all these extensions or most of them at the account level, campaign level, or ad group level. Neither Chris or I add ad group level extensions to start off with. Again, it's about getting data and seeing where the campaign goes. And why take the time to add it to every ad group when maybe 70% of those ad groups are not going to get hardly any traffic?
Right.
And let's figure out what the high volume ad groups are, and then let's add the ad group extensions and really tailor in on those. But callouts, Chris, they're like non-clickable site links. They're just little pieces of copy that can show up below the ad. And you're the one that made these for this campaign here. So why don't you walk through what these callouts are and then why you made these callouts?
Right. So this is the way I think of callouts. Your business has an advantage over other businesses for a certain reason. There's certain things that you do that you think identifies you or sets you apart from your competitors. This is the kind of thing that you would want to list on callouts. Now, of course, Sweetums Dental is a fictional place, so I just had to come up with a few random things that might work well. But here's some examples of what I came up with. They're open on weekends. This is something unique to Sweetums Dental, right? Not many dentists are open on weekends. So this is something that I would include on callouts because you want to call attention to this feature or this benefit of this client. Online scheduling. You don't have to call. You can book your appointment right online. That's a huge advantage. I hate calling and, hang on, let me check my calendar and all this kind of stuff. Online scheduling is an advantage. Other things are a bit not necessarily advantages, but they are just more practical things that people like to know. So the other ones I put are major insurance accepted, right? Okay, there's one question answered. Yes, they take insurance. Located in Plano. Okay, yes, it's a local dentist. 25 years of experience. Okay, yes, they've been around for a while. Okay, so these are basic questions that can be as creative as you want to be, and the cool thing is you can have three or four of these, or you could have 15 and kind of test to see which ones work better and even assign them to certain ad groups that would perform better depending on, you know, what that search is being done. So that's pretty much it. It's up to your creativity to come up with what you want to use there.
Chris, you know what I like doing with callouts, since they are so similar to ad copy? I like seeing which callouts bring in a really good click-through rate to the ad overall, and then getting ad copy ideas from those callouts.
Hmm.
Because it's kind of a big deal to edit an ad and try out new copy that it's going to show up a lot and be seen and stuff. So I like, if I'm not sure about something, I just want to test the waters, I like throwing that little ad copy idea as a callout.
I like that.
Yep, so you can do that. Now, the next one, totally underrated here, Chris. A lot of people don't use these. Structured snippets. And it's probably because they're called structured snippets. Like,
it's a weird name.
What is that word? Yeah. But basically, these are different, I guess the best word is types, and there's different kinds of structured snippets that apply to the healthcare industry or insurance or hotels. But the one Chris and I use all the time are either like service catalog or types. And the service catalog is what we ended up using in this place. And what it is you just list your services. And then below the ad, it'll say services, and then it'll say what we listed. And so, Chris, kudos to you, because I would have put like kids dentist, general cleaning, whatever. But you put in like really creative stuff. Cleaning, crack tooth repair. I guess that's an East Texas thing. Dental crowns, gum disease. I live in Oklahoma, so does that joke even make sense?
Yeah.
Root canals, sleep apnea treatment. By the way, Oklahoma's highly underrated cost of living. Oklahoma City is definitely a second-tier city and not a third-tier city. I could go on and on. But sleep apnea treatment. Chris, these are soup tooth extractions. This is very creative stuff. This is awesome.
Here's my thoughts on this. I have very specific thoughts on the structured snippets. First of all, it's not worth the time and effort, unless you have a massively complex high-spend campaign, you know, with a very complicated website with lots of landing pages, right? Most dentists are not going to have that. So most people are not going to search for tooth extraction dentist, right?
Yeah, people don't search for that.
They don't search for those things. If they do, it's very rare, and you just put 10 times the effort for almost no payout, because the amount of clicks you're going to get on that is very little versus the number of conversions you're going to get. It's just not worth the effort. So here's the idea. We have general dentist, you know, Plano, children, family, teeth whitening type of stuff. But then I like to put structured snippets in place that call out the specifics that people have in mind. They're thinking about, oh, I got to get a tooth extraction, you know, or I need, you know, teeth whitening, these kind of things that people would not necessarily search on. They'd just be searching for general terminology like local dentist near me or things like that. So this takes what's in their head, shows them in the ad copy what they're looking for, but they would not necessarily search at that moment in their search query using these terms. So that's kind of the idea, you know, I go with there for the structured snippets.
I love that, Chris. And I think as an AdWords manager, you can get a little bit jaded about search users, and like, they click everything. Like, why did they search this weird search term and then still click my ad that's not related? I got to add this as a negative. Like, you get a little jaded about the search users. But this really reminds you that, hey, people really are looking for a service. They're looking for their specific thing, and they do read the ads. And you can catch their eye with the specific stuff that other people aren't going to do. So I love that, Chris. So that's structured snippets. The next two are pretty similar, call extensions and message extensions. Call extensions, people can click the little phone graphic and call the business right from the ad on mobile. Or if there's anybody out there who's ever done this, please let me know. They can see the phone number on desktop and dial it on their phone before they click on that.
People do that. That's a thing. I know it is. I see it.
Are people that scared to click? anyway, so and those numbers you can track. No conversion code or anything like that. It's very easy to track. Message extension, that's on mobile. People can click that and it opens a text message function on a phone, and it actually preloads in your phone number that you put in there, and the customer can text you, say if they're at work and not able to call, but they can still text. So Chris, let me tell you what I did here. You can judge if I had good copy or not.
Okay.
Now, like you, probably don't use a message extension that extensively because it's kind of new and a lot of clients don't do it. They want the calls instead. So on the extension text, the part that actually shows up in the ad next to the little message icon, I put text our dental office here. Mm-hmm. Is that okay? Good? Okay.
I would, well, only thing is you have an exclamation point. A lot of times Google
gets disapproved. Yeah.
Yeah, you get disapproved. So, but yes.
Okay, but I'm not getting paid for this. I did this right before the show.
Right. Listen, it's right, a last minute type of thing. I would say if I have any advice on this, it's think about your message extension as a separate call to action.
Separate call to action, yeah.
Because you can put here, schedule appointment via text or something like that. You know, there could be a lot of creative stuff you could do to entice people to text, which is so much easier than calling. You know, people will text nowadays at the drop of a hat versus calling someone. So really cool stuff. If you have the ability to do it, I definitely recommend it. I have some clients that do it. It's not a hugely successful type of thing right now, but I think it's cool that some people can offer that.
Are you listening, Mountain View? Here's an idea.
Oh.
We get extension text on the text message, and we're actually allowed to say the word text. Let's get some extension text on the call extension, and we can say, call now to schedule, or something like
that. Yeah, but then it's not a phone number. They may not know that they can...
No, put the phone number right next to it.
Oh, and it's all one
thing. Yeah, yeah. Like below the ad where it has a phone number, a little bit of text that says call now to schedule.
Yeah. So you get like 10 characters or something like that.
Yep. Now, Chris, the extension text, I can't think of a reason not to put the word text in there as a call to action.
Yeah, but I agree.
I like using the word text. And then on the message text, on that portion, you actually get to pick what preloads for the user.
On their phone,
and
yeah,
it preloads and then they can edit that before they send, or just send that. Chris, I put hi. Google doesn't, in their example, it says, I'd like to know more. Please text me back. We're nice in Oklahoma, a lot of politeness. I put in hi.
Hi.
Hi, I'd like to schedule a dental appointment. So I'm already getting them in that mindset. Please text me back.
Right. I mean, other than putting like what you're wearing, that seems to be a.
Hi, I'm watching Game of Thrones and my kid's tooth fell out and he's bleeding all over the floor and I need an emergency dentist. Text me back at your leisure.
Talking about being specific, yeah, build some campaigns out with those.
Yeah, probably maybe the text message extension, probably not going to get clicked on a lot for the emergency dentist ad group.
Yeah.
Because that's probably going to generate a phone call. The final thing we should say about the message extension and the call extension, Chris, set your hours on those. If you can't take calls overnight, don't allow the call extension to show up overnight. If you don't take calls from 7 o'clock to 10 o'clock at night while your ads run, don't allow text messages if you don't want to get text messages. So you can control when those show up, and it's different hours than when your campaign is scheduled. Like if your campaign is scheduled 24/7, you can limit the text message extension and the call extension to only show up for windows in that.
Right. All right. So we'll burn through these last couple here. We've talked about these in the past, but location extension, this is linking your Google My Business to your Google AdWords. Okay. Not a whole lot I can say here, except it's very important. Look up Google My Business. If you are a local business that has any type of local relevance to people, absolutely critical that you have this in here because it helps you to show up on Google Maps. And it also could help you to show your address when people search. So definitely the kind of thing that a dentist would want. Other things that would not really be relevant to a dentist. Oh, it looks like Jason added them. So I'm just flipping through here. Jason, you went ahead and added them.
Oh, well, Chris, I mean, I'm location extension. I'm still on that, man. We like the local SEO results, what people call those right below the ads. You'll see an ad in there. That's location extension. The downside is if someone clicks on the address and goes to Google Maps and calls you, you don't get credit for the call unless you're doing website call tracking. Yeah. But something to keep in mind, but you definitely want to add those. And like you said, all through Google My Business. Affiliate location extensions, Chris, not going to apply here. App extensions, not going to apply. Automated extensions report, I've never clicked on that in my life. I'm going to say it doesn't apply here.
It has to do with location extensions and other things that are automatically added to your ads.
Right. Well, let's get into the review extension and then the price extension. Review extension, Chris, this is so hard to get approved.
If you have a Better Business Bureau rating, if you are rated on the Better Business Bureau, that's basically all I ever recommend doing this with. Just forget about it. Unless you have a Better Business Bureau rating, you're not going to be able to use the review extension. That's what it comes down to.
Bold statement. I'm not going that far, Chris. You've been jaded, I guess.
Yeah, I just can't get approved on anything else. The requirements are so restrictive. I've yet to have a client that can actually get a
legitimate review. And they do not charge you. If someone clicks on it and goes to the Better Business Bureau page, they're not charging you because it wasn't an ad click. It didn't go to your website. That's what I've been told. But when they go to that Better Business Bureau page and call in, you're going to lose the call data. You're not going to be able to track it, and you're not going to know what keyword led to the call that came in. So we don't use that too much. Final one here, guys, price extension.
Yeah.
This is pretty awesome. I don't see a lot of people doing this. We went ahead and did teeth cleaning, teeth whitening, and x-rays. It's a little weird for a dentist because so many people use insurance and it doesn't really cost anything. But you can basically put in your different services and then put in the prices. And when this shows up, Chris, in the ad, shows up big.
Yeah. This is basically Sitelink extensions with a price, a description, and a call to action all in those listings. So if you offer teeth cleaning, teeth whitening, x-rays, you can have a price for the service and a link to lead them directly to that page for that teeth whitening service. So a couple quick things. Number one, make sure you have individual pages for each of these services. I have this issue all the time with clients. They say, we want to do price extension. Well, George, listen, you have one landing page for your teeth cleaning, and it covers everything from teeth whitening to x-rays, and you need to have a price on that page, and it needs to be a separate URL, and then only talk about teeth cleaning so that I can use that, and it needs to have the price on that page. The other thing is you have to have at least three of them. You can't just have one. You can't just put price extension for teeth cleaning. You have to have three. So that's why in our example that we built for this is we have three: teeth cleaning, teeth whitening, and x-rays. Definitely encourage you to go look at the example campaign we've built out, because it's hard to explain over the podcast here, but it's definitely worth implementing if you can get it working.
And Chris, maybe if it doesn't make sense in a spreadsheet format, we could take screenshots of like the price extensions or the callouts and stuff like that.
Once we're done, what I plan on doing is exporting this whole thing into AdWords Editor and sharing the AdWords Editor export so that you can directly import it into your AdWords Editor so that you can see the full thing in its glory. And maybe we could even share the ID number and let people take a look at the campaign if they wanted to. You know, I don't
this
know.
This account has like thousands of users on it. People just making totally horrible changes, like chrissucks.com is the ad. And
we'll have to look into that.
Yeah. All right, guys, that is it. We are getting near the end of the build. And at the end of the build, the end of the rainbow here are ads. And ads we can go super deep on, and it might be a two-episode thing. But we got through the ad extensions and the bids. This is kind of like the meat and potatoes. I guess our main message, Chris, is use as many ad extensions as you can, but don't overthink it at the beginning of the campaign. You just want to get them in there, start getting data. And then for the ad groups that get a ton of volume, then you can really custom ad group level extensions.
Yeah, good stuff. Yep. Well, all right. Well, thanks, guys. Thanks for watching. We will be back next week with the few final episodes of this account build. I appreciate you guys tuning in. You can always catch us on Twitter and Facebook. You can find us at paidsearchpodcast.com, and we will see you next week.